Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
Are you a parent who wants your kids to think you're pretty hip and cool and that you're just that cool, you're going to throw them a party? Well, what goes on at a teen party that even makes it fun? You know, if there is alcohol there, now parents are playing economic Russian roulette, as my next guest just said off the air. He is Dr. Andrew Addisman. He's the Chief of Developmental and Behavioral Pediatrics at the Stephen and Alexandra Cohn Children's Medical Center of New York. Dr. Addisman, teen parties, economic roulette, if the parents serve alcohol. So what are they supposed to do when they throw a party to make sure that these kids are not hiding it, bringing it in? What?
Well, first of all, you know, as a parent of, you know, several recent teenagers, you know, I always wanted to host the party, and we never had the chance because my kids knew how firm and adamant I was about, you know, setting rules and limits. And I think, you know, the important thing that parents need to do is, you know, communicate with their teens, let them know what's acceptable and what's not. And, you know, I think parents' jobs are to ensure their children's safety, health, and happiness. And although my kids love to have heard that years ago when I talked about happiness being part of my job, I made it clear to them that it was number three on the list. So safe and healthy have to trump happiness, and that sometimes means parents using the word no, setting limits, and protecting their children's friends, and also themselves. In terms of alcohol at parties, it's important that first and foremost that parents not be complicit in any way, that they do not serve alcohol. Some parents will think, well, if it's under my watchful eye, I can regulate it, I can monitor it. And the reality is that, you know, different kids will have different responses to alcohol. Some kids may have pre-game, so to speak, come to the party having already had some alcohol in their system. And then if parents in any way are serving alcohol, then they can be legally liable. And it's not just economic roulette, but it's also potentially legal roulette, and with a multitude of unforeseen and unfortunate consequences. Separate and apart from not serving alcohol, parents need to understand that they're potentially liable if they're not involved, not present, not serving. If the party goes on in their absence and they have reason to have thought that perhaps alcohol would be served, then they may also be held liable. I think for parents who want to have a party, I think, as I said, you really want to make sure that the kids understand what's allowed and what's not. Kids may plead for alcohol to be served, telling you that other kids' parents are serving alcohol. That's not going to cut it, and parents need to make a firm no on that. And then other things that they can do to safeguard. You know, they can potentially take up, you know, all car keys if you have kids who are driving there because they're seniors in high school or juniors in high school. They can collect cell phones to avoid texting or sexting, which would be worse yet. And there's a tendency for parties that are intended to have a guest list of 10 or 20 or 30 people, and all of a sudden word goes out through social media or texting, and before you know it, you have 50 or 100 kids when the guest list was supposed to be smaller. So I think it's important to keep a handle on the numbers. I think parents shouldn't try to do it alone. I think parents should bring in other parents, friends, neighbors, or possibly even private security if they're able to make sure that there's appropriate supervision. And supervision means not just being where the kids are, but perhaps also being in areas where the kids should not be. Some recommendations, you know, for example, take all the bags so the kids aren't bringing alcohol in and water bottles and other containers and just, you know, keep it in a supervised space. So these are some of the things, and I know it sounds like work. It does.
It sounds like a lot of work for the parent. It sounds like, you know, a real police state situation in the house. And I'm right with you in the fact that you do have to say no. You have to set these guidelines. I remember that my dad took the keys away from everybody when he threw a party for us. And I think that that's a great idea because then each kid has to come to you before they get their keys and you can kind of, you know, sort of assess the situation, whether they've been drinking or not. Now, there are situations where kids are going to say, well, then what are we going to do at the party? So what do you tell them as a parent? Well, we're going to dance. We'll maybe put on a movie. We'll order pizza. What do you want them to think would be fun to have at a party?
You know, kids will sometimes, you know, when when I've seen kids' parties or kid, we've had kids over in something other than a party, kids will just typically talk. I think having music there is important. If depending on the age and inclinations of the kids, even possibly having a themed party or do something novel about it. Sometimes, having just interesting refreshments, if you have something other than the standard refreshments, kids may be more inclined or motivated to, drink what's being served rather than, drinking something that they're not supposed to be drinking. It's not a perfect world, and parents can't control all the factors. And I think that there's some liability, unfortunately, whenever a family chooses to host a party, even with the best of intentions and seemingly the greatest of safeguards. It's just not a perfectly controlled world. And I know you talked about a police state, but I think, having some vigilance, some surveillance, and some, advanced preparation is key for a successful party from a parent's perspective.
And I think if you have plenty of soda, boy, they just really like soda. We don't serve it in my house, but at parties I will, keep it around so that the kids have plenty of things. And, if you set up a contract, what do you think about that with your teenagers, saying that they're only going to invite friends that they know are responsible and will not try and sneak in alcohol? And then aside from that, Dr. Adisman, what if your kid's going to another party somewhere else?
So in terms of a contract, I said up front that, have clear communication with your teen in terms of expectations. That can be verbal, it can be written. The reality is, you can have a signed contract from your child, but they can't control things beyond the immediate sphere. So it doesn't keep friends or other people from texting, or one person texts another who texts another, and then things go viral. So that can happen even in the best of cases. So I think that parents need to be prepared to deal with it. In some cases, parents may even want to register their party in advance with the police, or if parents are concerned that things are getting out of hand, bring the police in. The problem with that is sometimes, it may vary by community. In some cases, the police may just, have a more paternal, well-intentioned, break up the party, send people out. In other cases, depending on what's going on, they may just cast a wide net and bring a lot of kids in which case there's a lot of headaches to follow. But I think kids need to understand that parents need to maintain control of the party. In terms of kids going to a party at another person's house, obviously setting expectations in terms of drinking and drugs, setting expectations in terms of not getting into a car with anybody who's been drinking or is otherwise impaired, making kids know that they can call for a ride regardless, no questions asked, no matter the hour, although there should be curfews with reasonable times, and those curfews should be rigid. Somebody calls up 20 minutes before the curfew saying, "Can I sleep over?" A lot of kids are sleeping over. I think parents in general should probably put their foot down and say no, because oftentimes that's a sign that there's just more going on there that you might want your child involved with. And then the last thing I'd suggest, if you set a firm curfew, expect your child to be home. Ideally, parents would wait up. If they can't wait up, then at the very least, they could set an alarm for themselves and also insist that the child comes into their bedroom and they have a debriefing, just a chat, a catch-up. Let me hear about the party. And it's not that gossip or catch-up can't happen the next morning. It's that you can get a sense for whether your child is impaired, whether the child is him or herself, and looking for slurred speech, we're looking for inappropriate affect, even perhaps a sense for how they're breathing and just how they're walking.
Well, that's certainly great advice, Dr. Andrew Adisman. And if you need to really set out those goals, then you need to communicate with your children. You need to make sure that they understand that if you're going to be that cool parent and you're going to throw that party, that it is going to be required that these kids either hand in their keys, their phones, get their bags checked, so that you know that other kids are not bringing in alcohol or drugs into your party. And if your children are going to another party, as I've said to mine, any time of the day or night, you can call. I will pick you up. Do not get in the car with someone who's been drinking. Let's have that trust. And then, as Dr. Adisman said, talk to the child after the party. Make sure that you can kind of look for those signs that maybe they were doing some other things. But, our kids are going to try and get away with a lot, and we just have to be savvy parents. This is Melanie Cole for Radio MD and Healthy Children. Stay well.